Hi everybody, Brian Newber here again from goldenblack.com, live in my cave at home with your daily hostage video. Goldenblack.com, daily quarantine simulcast, brought to you by Thoughts Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Sixth Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remaxability Plus. And yes, I have to count them off on my fingers because I want to make sure I keep them all straight. I want to remind you once again that the Sixth Street Dive in Lafayette, Arnie's in Lafayette, West Lafayette, and all over the state, Bruno's in West Lafayette, and the Whitaker Inn in West Lafayette all remain open for carryout orders. If you're looking for a damn good dinner or simply to support our local businesses, please keep them in mind. The Sixth Street Dive, Arnie's, Bruno's, and the Whitaker Inn. I'm sure they'd love to hear from you. Also, if you're accessing this on YouTube, please be sure to subscribe to our channel when the world starts to spin again. Our consistent flow of Purdue-related material will start to flow again, and you'll want access to that as soon as possible. I am taking ideas, topic ideas from people, so if you want to email me a topic you think you might want to hear me talk about, you might actually watch, you might actually find interesting. I know I'm not the most interesting fellow on the internet, but if there's something you think would be interesting, feel free to email me at bnubert@goldenblack.com. That's Newbert, N-E-U-B-E-R-T. Or if you have any suggestions for the color of the walls behind me. Unfortunately, the white primer has combined with the peep yellow and created this sort of Tums color. So I'm concerned that the wrong color of paint to paint this will be warped by the color underneath it. So if you have any suggestions, please feel free to reach out. Today's topic, obviously yesterday, Wednesday, was a newsy day on the NCAA front as the NCAA put out its statement in support of name, image, and likeness reform. I shouldn't say reform, introduction to college sports. That means student athletes at some point under some form will be able to now make money off of their names, accomplishments, whatever it may be. Obviously a drastic change from the draconian NCAA structure of all of these generations prior to today. Why this happened, don't think for a second this happened out of any sort of altruistic sense of what is right and wrong, any sort of moral compass, whatever it may be on the NCAA's part. This was simply about Congress getting involved. This was simply about governmental pressure put on by states passing laws. This was the NCAA having every chance over a very long period of time to get out in front of this very sort of thing, not doing it, spending years and years and years and millions of dollars fighting this very day, and then getting forced into it. So that's why this happened. What happens now, we will wait and see. The details of this whole arrangement have not yet been determined, but it is going to be very interesting to see what this, of course, means. I think this probably takes a couple of forms, most prominently right away. First off, a little stipulation. Based on what's been reported thus far, the schools will not be necessarily a direct part of this. There'll be an oversight component to this, but the schools cannot be involved. They cannot be connected to the student athletes in whatever endorsements or money-making opportunities they generate. So Tim Tebow could have done a commercial for Toyota back in the day, but under this structure, it would just be Tim Tebow. It would not be Tim Tebow, University of Florida quarterback. Carson Edwards could have made a commercial for any bookstore on campus, whoever it might be, but it would only be Carson Edwards. It would not be Purdue's Carson Edwards, if that makes sense. To me, what this likely means is the form this takes most prominently early on is going to be probably social media. I think these guys nowadays have extremely monetizable footprints on social media. I think Zion Williamson is kind of the poster boy for that. It's been well documented. He had more than a million Instagram followers when he was in high school. That is gold for, you know, potential brands who'd want to associate themselves with him. But I also think autograph signings and memorabilia related stuff are going to be part of this. I think camps are going to be a big part of this when guys exhaust their eligibility. Oftentimes, if you have a name, whether it be on your college campus, around your college community, or back home, that shouldn't be forgotten either. These guys do carry name recognition in their hometowns, in the communities from which they came. You start a camp. You you hire your buddies to come work the camp for a day. You charge kids however much you charge them, $50 of the day, whatever it is. You charge their families. That during the summer, the kids spend the day around whoever it may be. That's a pretty profitable endeavor. And that's now something in the off season. And that would be an off season thing that college athletes would be able to monetize to a certain extent. It will be really interesting to see what happens here because, the other part of this too is, you could now have student athletes in commercials, student athletes doing radio spots, student athletes doing endorsements. That's what I was getting at before I started prematurely talking, which all of my talking is basically premature, is that it is going to be a really interesting business study here to see exactly what a student athlete's brand is worth on the open market. Because when businesses look to align with certain spokespeople, with certain endorsers, they tend to look for a certain something in that person, whether it's a connection to an audience, whether it's a certain aspect of that person's personality, whether it's a certain assumption of life experience, whatever it might be. In this case, if you're selling cars, it will be really interesting to see how much value a car seller, a car dealer would put in a spokesperson who likely hasn't even bought his first car yet. We are at the end of the day talking about 18 to 21 year olds in positions that they're only going to be in for a finite period of time. Obviously, a college athlete will not be at his school any more than 4 or 5 years. So you're not necessarily looking at this as something where you're entrenching yourself to that person over the long haul. Local businesses have done that with athletes at Purdue. For example, after they've graduated, I know PEFQ years ago, aligned with Drew Brees, probably a can't miss sort of association. Ryan Kerrigan as well, David Budaya after that. But whether or not businesses will necessarily look to do that during an athlete's career will be a really interesting case study in advertising value in the power of one's brand when they're in college. People are worried about, the impropriety. To that, I would say that there's impropriety now, and there's every rule is something you're going to have to enforce, and there's going to have to be safeguards in place. There's going to have to be a reasonable, rational approach to enforcing this, to making sure things don't go crazy. I think this is also a situation, however, that the open market, and at the end of the day, this is an open market capitalist country. And I think if you're for those things, you should be for this philosophically. But the market will dictate this. I think that the nightmare scenario that everybody has on this, and everybody probably unfairly picks on Alabama football because they're one of the poster boys for college athletics excess, is that the local car dealers in Tuscaloosa will pay everyone to come to Alabama. Well, A, why that may not happen is because A, it is hilariously bad business. And if I think ultimately business people who have the local university's best interests at stake also probably have their own interests at stake, first and foremost, they will go out of business if they do that. The open market will cannibalize them. The other part of that is that chances are if there's a business person in town who's willing to drop tens of thousands of dollars to get the University of Alabama a cornerback, chances are he's already doing that in some way, shape, or form, illegally. Now at least he gets a commercial out of it. The other part of this is that I don't know if that's based in reality. Whereas people might look at this and say, this is going to just lead to the rich getting richer. I don't necessarily agree with that. We all know this remains to be seen, but would a player... Let's use Rondell Moore as an example. Rondell Moore is a star, a bona fide star at Purdue University. Obviously, he carries massive brand recognition around Purdue, around Indianapolis, not so far from where he came up in Louisville. This could be a lucrative situation for a player like him in that situation. If Rondell Moore goes to Alabama and shares a roster with 12 other guys who are going to be first-round NFL draft picks one day, and is literally sharing a roster with guys who are going to win the Heisman one day, when he's surrounded by that sort of star power in a larger market, where does his name carry more weight? I would argue probably in the smaller community closer to his hometown at Purdue, where he stands out better, where he's more marketable, where he is the star, not just one of many stars. I think that sort of dynamic in itself will jive with parity. It will lead to players understanding that, hey, I could go to Ohio State, where, again, I've got 20 first-round picks eventually on my roster in a bigger city and not stand out, or I could go to this place for largely the same reasons recruits sometimes go to Purdue now, is to stand out on the football field more, but now you can stand out off the field more too. And there could be an angle to that, albeit one that the universities cannot overtly sell in recruiting, in terms of specific opportunities for this sort of thing, that could matter. And that could lead to parity in some way, shape, or form. Obviously, we will see how this all works out. But to me, that's the obvious dynamic that's most likely at play. Whereas all of the best players aren't going to go to the same schools anymore. If this becomes a thing, they're going to have a lot more reason to go a little bit off the radar, to go stand out more on the field and off the field, kind of somewhere else. This will really hurt the lower levels of college athletics, but this is not a balanced landscape. Let's not pretend like parity exists in college sports as is. It is conceivable a Wally Szczerbiak in an Oxford, Ohio, a Jackie Stiles at a Southwest Missouri State back in the day, and Obi Toppin at Dayton, albeit Dayton is a major population center. That's probably a bad example. There could be real opportunities for players like that. But I don't think this works to the advantage across the board of the smaller schools in the NCAA. But very, very little does, so that doesn't matter. Again, people talk about the impropriety involved in all of this. I think that, there are potential for impropriety all over the place in the NCAA rulebook right now. The NCAA, obviously, a bright light was shined on some things by the FBI investigation into college basketball. If you watch the HBO documentary on Christian Dawkins, there's a good chance you finished watching that and you said, hey, nobody's the good guy here. There is no good guy in all of this. And a big part of that is the reason that there have been serious, moral questions about the NCAA rulebook brewing for many, many years in terms of how ethical, how moral, whatever it may be, it is for the NCAA to not allow its athletes to profit off of their name and likeness the same way everybody else in this country really can. Every other student on campus would have those same rights. I know a scholarship is a very valuable thing. It is a very valuable thing. But the numbers have gotten to the point where the value of the scholarship relative to the numbers involved with college basketball and college sports in general, the scholarship has become small potatoes, quite honestly. And I don't say that taking the value of a free education lightly, but the money has gotten to the point where it's simply, there's been a fundamental unfairness involved in this. College athletic departments would tell you there's no money for the players. College athletic departments are also paying their football coach $4 million a year instead of $3 million. They're upgrading facilities every chance they can because they want that money that's coming in to be spent, so that nobody could point to a big pile of unused money somewhere and say, see, there is money for the players. That is a big part of the dirty little secret that has been the NCAA's operating model. So this now is good for college basketball. This is offloaded expense. This isn't, people use the term pay for play, paying the players, whatever loaded term might be at the forefront of the court of public opinion at any point in time. That is not necessarily accurate, because paying the players would be the athletic departments themselves paying those players a salary. That is not what is happening here. This is offloaded expense. This is outsourcing that responsibility to the open market, and we will find out exactly what the open market can dictate for them at this stage of our history. But this is not salary. This is not universities paying the players. What will be really interesting to see is whether or not there can be any sort of collective bargaining in place to get NCAA athletes across the board put back in video games, whatever it might be, a share of broader endorsements. I don't know how you can do that. I don't know how you can give athletes collective bargaining power without designating them as employees. And that is still not the direction this is headed in. This is a small concession, but still the furthest thing from paying players or designating them as employees as can be. This is a good thing for the NCAA. This creates a fairer, more equitable, common sense sort of solution to this. This is a more American, to be honest with you, way of going about things. And I think in the long term, this is a very good thing. This will be an even better thing if this concession, however much the NCAA had to be pushed into it kicking and screaming, if this concession gives the NCAA cloud cover now to strike down this ridiculous transfer rule, then I think everything that happened this week, literally when nothing else is going on in college sports, will have proven to be a very good series of events for college sports moving into the future. I think that this comes at a time, I failed to mention this earlier, this all comes at a time, speaking of college basketball, where it just so happens, you know, college basketball has lost three very, very preeminent talents to the G League. And I think college basketball will be fine no matter what. Time has proven that time and again. I think there are existential threats in place to the college basketball model that over the span of many, many years can potentially create problems for the Golden Goose, as I like to call it. But I think that if players can get a little bit of money here, I think that would give them less reason to bypass college basketball in general. What I did not see in the reporting thus far on what's this system that's going to be put in place is whether or not Nike or Adidas or whoever can sign to endorsement deals athletes before they go to college. There are going to be safeguards in place where athletes aren't endorsing something that competes with the business interests of the university. So if Nike could sign a kid to an endorsement deal, that kid could not go wear Adidas somewhere else. If Adidas signed a kid to an endorsement deal, I can only assume that kid could not go wear Nike somewhere. But it would be really interesting to see if these athletes can take money, if the shoe companies can get them signed now to the endorsement deals they're trying to work toward in general. I think that could be that could really help college basketball get the best players playing college basketball every year. Again, college basketball is going to be fine no matter what, but I think the better the product on the floor, the better college basketball is, the better college basketball is, the better the TV money is, and the more you choke off some of these, what I view as existential threats, kind of looming for far, far, far down the road. By that, I mean the remote possibility that the G League could put together a TV product, that the shoe companies who underwrite so much of college basketball could move some of their resources to that avenue, things like that. You know, this is a very profitable endeavor for everyone involved. And I think now that the players are getting part of it, I think it creates a more equitable, or I should say they can make more of it. There are no guarantees in any of this. Nobody knows how this is going to play out. It's going to be different for every student athlete, but I think the fact that the structure is now a little bit more equitable, I think is a good thing for college basketball, something that should have happened a long, long time ago. But that's what I got. Name, image, likeness, NIL, if you will. NIL, which is synonymous with what athletes were making off their names and likenesses prior to this, which is nil. I just came up with that on the spot. That is really good. Anyway, thanks, everybody. This has been your GoldenBlack.com Daily Quarantine simulcast for Thursday. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. This has been brought to you by Fox Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the Sixth Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remaxability Plus. See, I am profiting off of my name, image, and likeness right now by mentioning them. And I will also mention, once again, if you're looking for a great dinner or just to support our local businesses or to do both at once, preferably, please keep in mind the 6th Street Dive in Lafayette, Arnie's in Lafayette, West Lafayette, and all over the state, Bruno's in West Lafayette, and the Whitaker Inn in West Lafayette. I'm sure they would all love to hear from you. So please keep them in mind. Thanks, everybody.